May the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Perhaps one of the things that we learn as kids and at the same time taught our children or our family members when they were young was to believe in something else. As young as we are invited to believe in Santa Claus or magic. But as we grow up, and for those who have the opportunity to come to church and attend Sunday school, these kinds of beliefs were now changed into belief in Jesus Christ. And in that growing up, we also come to believe and rely more on Jesus Christ. On the contrary, we have seen from the gospel stories of people who have seen Jesus Christ in person and witnessed his powerful deeds. Yet, they do not come to believe that he is the one who came down from heaven. They cannot accept that this carpenter from the small town of Nazareth would be the savior of the world. From his teachings on the I Am discourses, particularly on the bread of life, people have been fed by Jesus physically and spiritually. And Jesus pointed out that the food he gives is from heaven and gives eternal life. Whereas the manna that their ancestors ate in the wilderness is only for physical sustenance. Despite that, these people do not accept him. That is why there are those who followed him, grumbled and complained, saying, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" They left because of their lack of trust in Jesus. And he knows this from the very first time that there are those who followed him that they do not believe. Despite that, we notice that Jesus didn't feel any indifference towards those who left. He turned to his disciples and asked them, "Do you also want to leave?" And assuming the role of the spokesperson of the 12, Peter responds with three statements of faith. First, Peter said, "Lord, to whom can we go?" In saying this, Peter could have implied two things. One would be, where will they go after they left everything to follow Jesus? And the other would be, where will they go to see a man like him to follow? On the first thought, it would be very hard for them if they will go back to their old life, because it will be very hard for them to start all over again. While on the second thought, now where, and there is no one else quiet like Jesus. In our context, when you are hurt, do you spend more time with God or do you spend more time with people? Are we like the Jews that when problems and trials, or when we lost someone because of illness, or when the going gets tough, our trust is more on medicine or something else, rather than relying on the faithfulness of the Lord? I am not saying that we don't talk to people to seek their wisdom, because God uses people to impact our lives. He uses people to encourage and inspire other people. The point here is that when we are in dire need or when we face a situation Instead of thinking first on who will we run and talk to, we should run first and foremost to the throne of God's grace. Like when you feel that you are getting discouraged, come to His throne. When you need a peace of mind, come to Him. When you need to seek the wisdom of God in prayer to lead us or guide us and to reveal to us what He wanted us to do. For God's counsel will enable us to walk through these situations no matter what. God's wisdom will never get us lost, but always lead us to somewhere while we are being sustained spiritually. As Jesus promised us in the Gospel of John in chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, and I quote, "My sheep hears my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I gave them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Further, Peter tells us in Acts chapter 4 that there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. With that, we should not turn away from the presence of God. And in doing that, we will be like Peter, who believes in Jesus, in His teachings, like when he said, "You have the words of eternal life." It seems that Peter and the other disciples have accepted what Jesus teaches at that moment and what He has been teaching about eternal life. The Jews at this time believe in the resurrection, as shown by the statement of Martha with regards to their brother's death, that she responded to Jesus when He said that her brother will rise again by saying, "I know that he will rise again on the resurrection on the last day." However, on the belief that Jesus is the resurrection and eternal life can only be gained through Him, some of these people who followed Him left because they cannot accept this teaching. And this was the reaction because they hadn't witnessed yet Jesus instituted Holy Communion, that He didn't yet die on the cross, resurrected from the dead, and ascended into heaven. But for us Christians, we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we may not fully understand some doctrines of the church, like the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, but we still come to believe because our encounter with God is a mystery and we just experience or respond to it with awe. And in matters of people losing their faith in our context, do you know people who left the church because they cannot accept how we read, understand, and interpret the scriptures as applied to human life? Do you know somebody who left the church, especially the Anglican Church, because of our church's stance on certain issues? And on the individual level, there are reasons why some people left the church and to the point of losing their faith in God. And some lost their faith in God because of unanswered prayers that deals mostly on pain and very challenging situations. While others may have left the church because of division, infighting, burnout, or they have been hurt. How about those who left their countries ravaged by war or political instability? How are we going to show them the love of God? And when we meet or have conversations with these people, we hear their concerns or reasons. The challenge for us is, how do we respond to these people who says that they no longer go to church and lost their faith in Jesus? Do we just leave them in their state or condition? Or do we become the face or messenger of Jesus that provides the spark to rekindle their faith? This then brings us to the third statement of Peter and faith with divine identity. Peter said, "We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Relating to the statement of Peter when Jesus was transfigured in the Mount to this declaration of faith, sometimes I come to think, what's with Peter that he always comes ahead on declaring the messianic titles of Jesus? He proclaims that he is God and is one with God. However, when Peter's life is threatened during Jesus' trial, he denied him three times. Are we similar with him that when life is too hard, do you really believe in the Holy One of God? Or do you trust him and in what he can do? Here's the story of a person who left church because of some reasons, and he went and one day he went fishing, and suddenly his boat was attacked by the Loch Ness, a sea monster. And one is a flip, the beast tossed and the beast tossed the boat into midair, at least 100 feet. And after that, the monster opened its mouth while waiting below to swallow the man and the boat. As the man started to fall towards the open jaws of the ferocious beast, he cried out, "Oh God, oh my God, help me." Suddenly, the scene froze in place. As this person hung in midair, a booming voice from heaven said, "I thought you didn't believe in me." And the man pleaded, "God, come on, give me a break." And God replied, "A few days ago, you lost faith in me. And a moment ago, when a person told you that there's Loch Ness in this lake, you didn't even believe." So, and God continued, "And now that you are a believer, you must understand that I won't do miracles to snatch you from certain death in the paws of the monster, but I can change hearts. What would you want me to do?" So this person thought for a moment and said, "God, please have the Loch Ness monster believe in you also." And God replied, "So be it." So the scene started in motion again, with this person falling towards the mouth of the sea monster. Then the Loch Ness closed his jaw and said, "Lord, bless this food you have graciously provided for me." The character in the story is the person who lost faith in God, but he or she can be a believer in Christ too, who only calls on the name of the Lord based on their or his or her situation or convenience. But as disciples of Jesus, who believes that as we partake of his body and blood, we also partake in his death, resurrection, and ascension. We are to believe it, claim it, live it, and witness to it that Jesus is God and is one with God. Yes, his teachings can be difficult to understand, and following him is challenging. But we have to make decisions. It's either to follow the Lord and serve the Lord or not. If we do believe in Jesus, if we believe that he is the only one who can give eternal life and that he is God, it is right and proper that he is the only one we should go to. He is the first and foremost that we should call upon. Then the challenge, however, is how are we to witness and share this promise of God in Jesus Christ to someone else? And we may not fully understand how God works in our midst, on how God makes himself present in dire situations, on how God responds to our prayers. But we still proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. Amen.